WSJM News Now. Team coverage from the WSJM Newsroom on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM.
Brought to you by the Town Crier Wire. In the newsroom, I'm Andrew Green. Berrien County Clerk Sharon Tyler is running for county commissioner. Tyler addressed the Berrien County Board of Commissioners this morning, saying as clerk for the past 12 years, she's become quite familiar with county government.
Unfortunately, it seems the board does not want the input of those of us who work in different departments.
Tyler's running in District 12, which is currently represented by Commissioner Michael Majerik, who will now face Tyler in the August Republican primary.
I believe this will be a challenging election, but I am determined to win. So I look forward to working with this board in the coming years, and I wish you all the best.
Majerik isn't the only commissioner to have a primary opponent. Commissioner John Hinkleman's being challenged by Michelle Tooker. Commissioner Julie Werfel's being challenged by Christopher Petty. Commissioner Bob Harrison's being challenged by Richard McCoy. And Commissioner Mac Elliott's being challenged by Eugene Castro. They're all Republicans. Meanwhile, there are four Republicans running for Berrien County Sheriff. They are Chuck Height, Richard Briand, Roger Johnson, and Jason Long. Treasurer Shelley Weick is also being challenged by Margaret Fife. Berrien County Drain Commissioner Christopher Quatrin faces challenges by Mark Krieger and George McManus. Once again, all the above candidates are Republicans. Berrien County's seven senior centers have made great strides in improving their accounting practices in the past 9 years. CPA Linda Eli reported to the Berrien County Board of Commissioners Thursday. She's been working with them during that time and has seen improvement.
Together, a lot has been accomplished. The centers have made steady and continued progress. Each year, we look at different things, and my policies, basically, my philosophy has been if you make slow progress each year, circling back to things, then it's not such an overwhelming process. And by the end of the process, you've made substantial improvement.
Eli said senior center boards have been more involved, meaning increased oversight, and there's been better communication between auditors and the centers.
There are now more financial professionals on each center's team than when we began this process. More professional bookkeepers at each center provide more financial oversight and guidance by a financial person that they have access to.
Eli said in the latest audit she found zero material weaknesses on average with the centers, whereas they used to average four. She's been working with the senior centers since former Berrien County Commissioner Robert Woolley was convicted of embezzlement, stealing more than $300,000 from the North Berrien Senior Center, where he was the director in 2015. A water and sewer rate increase has been approved by St. Joseph City Commissioners. City Manager John Hodgson tells us there are two types of rates, those for city residents and those for non-city residents who are in the system. Commissioners earlier this month approved a system-wide increase. This week's action focused on city rates.
City Commission considered rates for the city water and the city sewer, and they continued with the rate increases that were calculated last year, confirmed to be appropriate this year, which is 7% on the water side and 13% on the sewer side.
Hodgson said this rate increase has been planned as the city pays for ongoing infrastructure work.
There's a great deal of work taking place on infrastructure. You see the road construction projects that are going on, and there's water and sewer work that takes place as part of that. In addition, there are some pretty significant expenses now and continuing for the future for lead water service replacements that are required by the state.
The overall increase for a typical residential account will be $3.24 per quarter and for water and $9.88 per quarter for sewer. When viewed together with the system water rate approved last month, the increase in overall utility bills for city customers is 8.8% for typical accounts. Berrien County Animal Control is rebranding. County Commissioner Jim Curran told colleagues today that the County Administration Committee has heard from Berrien County Animal Shelter Manager Ashley Herr about efforts to better market the department. Among other things, they're giving the shelter a new name.
She put together a list of suggested names, and their staff came up with three, and she gave us the one that they liked the best. The three that they came up with was Berrien County Animal Resource Center, Berrien County Animal Shelter, Berrien County Animal Services and Adoption Center, and the staff came up with the third one. That's the one they liked the best.
County Administrator Brian Doucette joked they should have gone with Berrien Animal Recovery Center, or BARC. He said that's a missed opportunity. Curran set a resolution with a new logo for Berrien County Animal Control, and the name change for the shelter will be coming soon for commissioners to approve. Silver Beach is getting some extra attention. Speaking to the county board this week, Parks Director Jill Adams said her staff was recently contacted by USA Today, which is conducting a poll.
Silver Beach County Park was nominated for the 10 Best Readers' Choice Awards for Best Beach in Michigan.
Adams said everyone can vote up to once per day for their favorite. Silver Beach is doing pretty well so far.
Right now, we're third on the leaderboard. And after 4 weeks of voting, the contest will close. And then a week later, they'll let us know how things went.
USA Today travel experts selected the beaches and are leaving the final top 10 ranking up to the public. Voting continues through May 20th, and we'll have a link to the voting page at our website. As of this afternoon, Silver Beach was still in third place behind Stearns Park Beach in Ludington and First Street Beach in Manistee. Warren Dunes State Park was at number 6, while Tisconia Beach Park was at number 9, and South Beach in South Haven was polling 10th. The South Haven Steelheaders Association and the Michigan Department of Natural Resources have stocked the Black River with fish for this coming season. The Steelheaders tell us the DNR was in town this week to plant 250,000 king salmon fingerlings in the river. They were placed in cages where for the next 2 weeks they'll be fed and allowed to acclimate to the water temperature. The fish will then be released for their journey to Lake Michigan. The 6-month-old fingerlings came from the DNR's Wolf Lake Hatchery in Mattawan. This was the second planting this spring, with another earlier this month planting 25,000 steelhead fingerlings also in the Black River. And the River Valley Garden Club is planning its annual plant sale for May 18th. The club's Elizabeth Paloulis tells us this is the 16th year for the sale, which always attracts a good crowd.
We have about 100 members in our club, and many of them have gardens where they have perennials that they can dig themselves and pot up and bring to the plant sale. So the plant sale has quite a few unusual plants that you might not find at your local garden center.
Paloulis says the bigger stores often don't have plants that are native to Southwest Michigan.
The big push right now is native plants, which means plants that are native, that have been here in Michigan probably at the time of the American Indians, and they are very good for bees and butterflies, and they're very hard to find.
Proceeds from the plant sale support a scholarship that benefits a River Valley or Bridgman High School graduate studying horticulture. The sale will be May 18th at Harbert Community Park from 10 a.m. to noon. Paloulis recommends getting there early as the plants are often sold out. WSJM News now continues with your Bloomberg Report. WSJM News now continues. The U.S. Supreme Court has considered former President Donald Trump's claims of immunity while Trump's hush money trial continues. ABC's Mark Remillard has more.
This is a special report from ABC News, the Trump trial. I'm Mark Remillard. While his attorneys argued for presidential immunity at the Supreme Court, former President Trump was inside a New York courtroom as his criminal hush money trial continues. Jurors continuing to hear testimony from David Pecker, the former publisher of the National Enquirer, who described coordination with Trump's former attorney Michael Cohen to buy and then bury claims by former Playboy playmate Karen McDougal that she had an affair with Trump. Pecker says it was meant to prevent the damaging story from being released. Also for the first time, jurors hearing about the alleged hush money payments made to adult film actress Stormy Daniels, which are at the center of the case.
It took a couple of days, but finally Stormy Daniels has made her appearance, if you will, into the courtroom. What's interesting here is that we've been hearing the presentation from prosecutors building up to this moment. They've been presenting evidence about other catch and kill schemes.
ABC's John Santucci. This is ABC News.
The Supreme Court seems highly skeptical of former President Donald Trump's claim of absolute immunity from prosecution, but it is possible Trump could still benefit from a lengthy trial delay, possibly beyond November's election. Chief Justice John Roberts was among at least 5 members of the court today who appeared likely to reject the claim of absolute immunity that would stop the prosecution of Trump on charges that he conspired to overturn the 2020 election loss to Democrat Joe Biden. However, 2 justices suggested that lower courts might have to sort out the matter, possibly delaying the outcome until after the election. The court seemed likely to keep at least some of the federal January 6th case against Trump alive. ABC's Stephen Portnoy has more on today's arguments over immunity.
The argument had the court's liberals focused on the risks of granting broad presidential immunity. Elena Kagan.
How about if a president orders the military to stage a coup?
Conservative Justice Neil Gorsuch said he worries if the court issues a broad ruling rejecting presidential immunity.
Perhaps if he feels he has to, he'll pardon himself every 4 years from now on.
In a key exchange, Trump's attorney conceded that charges touching on Trump's private acts could survive this challenge. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
A top Hamas official has told the Associated Press the Islamic militant group is willing to agree to a 5-year truce with Israel and that it will lay down its weapons and convert to a political party if an independent Palestinian state is established along pre-1967 borders. Khalil al-Haya made the comments Wednesday amid a stalemate in the months of ceasefire talks, but it's unlikely Israel would consider such a scenario. Israel's vowed to crush Hamas following the deadly October 7th attacks that triggered the war in Gaza, and its current government opposes a two-state solution to the conflict with the Palestinians. A foreign policy advisor to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu declined to comment on al-Haya's remarks. Meanwhile, President Biden spoke today about his meeting a Wednesday with a young American girl who had been held hostage by Hamas and left orphaned by its October 7th attack on Israel. More from ABC's Karen Travers.
President Biden said his meeting in the Oval Office with 4-year-old Abigail Edan and her family Wednesday went really well.
The family sent me a note saying she was riding home. She said, you know, I love Joe Biden.
The president told reporters that young Abigail was playful during her visit.
We had her on the swing. She was swinging around in the Oval Office. She was really good.
The White House later released a photo of the president holding Abigail, both of them smiling. And in the caption, he calls her remarkable. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
Some U.S. universities called in police to break up demonstrations against the Israel-Hamas war, resulting in ugly scuffles and dozens of arrests, while others appeared content to wait out the student protests today. It says the final days of the semester tick down and graduation ceremonies loom. At Emerson College in Boston, 108 people were arrested overnight in an alleyway encampment, said authorities. Another 93 were arrested during a Wednesday night protest at the University of Southern California. And new encampments and protests continue to pop up at campuses across the country. And it is an important milestone in the recovery efforts in Baltimore after the giant bridge collapse. The first cargo ship has passed through the channel that's been clogged for weeks. It's a vital step in reopening the busy port. More if maybe sees Perry Russum in Washington.
For the first time in more than 4 weeks, 5 cargo ships that have been stuck in the port of Baltimore can now leave. A new temporary 35-foot channel is open. Christine Wormuth is the Secretary of the Army.
Reopening this channel is about, you know, getting $100 billion worth of economic activity for the country turned back on again.
The first ship to pass through was the Balsa 94, a bulk carrier. It was guided by tugboats passing through the downed bridge and cargo ship still stuck in the water. Perry Russum, ABC News, Washington.